Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David Mitchell, 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is July 1, 2023, and it is the 14th day of the 4th month, 2027. We will start our second service on this Sabbath day with a song, and we're going to have our prayer, but our title for our sermon will be what be if we work with the Yahweh? What would be if we work with the Yahweh? That's on the 12th symbolic code number 3. So rescue the perishing. Rescue the perishing, temple the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and their brain. Weep for the erring one, lift up the fallen. Hear them of Yahshua the mighty to say. Rescue the perishing, pray for the dying. Yahshua is merciful. Yahshua will sing. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent and the child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, except for the dying. Yahshua is merciful, Yahshua will sing. Down in the human heart, crushed by the serpent, feelings that vomit. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings not buried, the grace can restore. The fire-loving heart, wakened by kindness, as the smoking moon, probably once more. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings not buried, the grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that are broken will vibrate once more. Trust to the patient, care for the dying. Yahshua is merciful, Yahshua will sing. Rescue the perishing, beauty demands it. Strength for the labor, Yahshua will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer, Savior has died. Mercy the patient, serve for the dying. Yahshua is merciful, Yahshua will save. What will it be if we work with Yahweh? This is going to be the name of our sermon. And let him work with us. It says that we're in the 12th symbolic code number 3. It says Isaiah 62:1, for the Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof goes forth as the brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And Yahweh says that he's not going to rest, Yahshua is not going to rest, until righteousness goes forth, and the salvation of the lamp that burns. He says it's going to go like a steady stream of light, 24/7. But praise Yahweh for that promise. It says, this first denotes that it will take much speaking and effort on the Yahweh's part before righteousness and salvation will go forth out of Zion. And the only Zion we have in these last days is Mount Zion at the 12th hour, and the 12th hour. And that's the tabernacle of David that has been raised up, that pointed out there in Amos chapter 9. Matter of fact, let's just pause for a moment and turn to our Bibles. Just turn to Amos chapter 9 and read that whole chapter right now. Amos chapter 9 and verse 1. I saw the Yahshua, the Son, standing upon the altar, and he said, smite the lintel of the door, that the posts may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered, though they dig into hell. Then shall mine hand take them, though they climb up into heaven, as thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command a serpent, and he shall bite them. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them, and I will set mine eyes upon them for evil and not for good. And the Yahshua of the host, this is the Son, is he that touches the lamb, and it shall melt, and all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. It is he that buildeth his stories in the heaven, and hath founded his troop in the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth, Yahshua is his name. Are ye not as the children of the Ethiopian unto me, O children of the Israel, saith Yahshua? Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Captor, and the Syrians from Kir? Behold, the eyes of the Yahshua, the Son, are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith Yahshua. So what is this sinful kingdom today? It's the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But he's got the remnant of Jacob in her midst that he's going to save. And that remnant of Jacob is 144,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel. And then he's going to destroy the Adventist Church off the face of the earth. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations. Like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. Now this is why I am patiently waiting on heaven for Yahshua to do this very thing, to fulfill this scripture right here, for the kingdom of David that we represent today. He's raised us up. He's called us. He's put us in charge of this kingdom of David. And now Yahshua says he's going to come and raise up the tabernacle that has fallen down to this day. So I know that I'll patiently wait on him. The building will come, the people will come, the land will come. This whole nation of Texas will be turned into like a Garden of Eden with Yahshua and the kingdom of David in charge of it. As a theocracy, a church and state, the civil and the religious both run by one government, and that's the government of the law of Moses, restored during these last days in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and the remnant of Edom, Edom represents the Adventist Church, that's another name for the Adventist Church, and that remnant would no doubt be the 144,000. They're the only one that has that word attached to their name, the 144,000. Behold, the days come, saith the Yahshua, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop with sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build their waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith Yahshua, thy king, and the Savior and Redeemer. Alright, that's the end of the Amos chapter 9 chapter, the book of Amos, that's the end of that also. Okay, now, this is wonderful. Yahweh brought us down here. He told me 5 years before we moved down here. He said, let's move you, Mesa, you're going to go down on the farm. Well, I'm down on the farm. But I need help to help farm it now. So I'm waiting for some help to help me farm it. We're starting on a few acres, and if we prove ourselves here, we go to bigger acres. And that's what we got to do. The Bible says we're going to have to do it. If we're going to eat during these last days, we'll have to plant our own vineyard. It's all in the Bible. Let's go back to our reading on the 12th and body code number 3. We're on page 3. It is because Yahweh's people need to work to be done for them that will cause him to continue speaking and working until righteousness and salvation are accomplished. We may be certain also that in this process, we as a body will win. But some as individuals will lose out because they, like the rebellious Israel of old, will not submit themselves to the necessary requirements that Yahweh will lays before them. They refuse to exchange their ways for his ways, and their thoughts for his thoughts, Isaiah 62:2. And the Gentile shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of Yahshua shall name. For a new name is to be given unto his people, as a body, and perhaps even as individuals also, just as it was in the cases of Abraham, Sarah, and Jacob. For after our characters are changed, Yahweh may wish to give us names that would be indicative of that fact. If our present names should not then be fitting, Yahweh is going to make his people so glorious that kings who now glory in their power will then acknowledge the glory of his people. Consequently, if we are to be among that people, then we are going to be made known in all the world, even unto all kings at the time when the Yahweh makes his people known. And our names will be classed forever among the names of the great men of the scriptures. Do you actually realize that? Isaiah 62:3. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of Yeshua, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy father. Yahweh, we are also to be a crown of glory in the hands of the Yahweh. Okay, it's Isaiah 62:11. Behold, the Yeshua has proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye unto the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Now this is a very interesting verse. This is one of the most important verses in all the Bible. Is this Isaiah 62:11. Because when Yahshua comes, contrary to the Adventist teaching, believing and so forth, that he's just going to appear in the clouds of glory, he's not going to touch the earth, he's just going to open up the graves and cause the righteous to come out of their graves, and they're going to go floating through the air. They're just going to go floating up there in those clouds, and they're going to disappear with Yahshua and go back to heaven. And that's the end of the world, as far as Adventists are concerned. Well, when Yahshua comes, he takes charge of the harvest kingdom. He takes charge of the tabernacle of David. He sits upon the throne of David. That's in Luke 1:32-33. And that's the prophecy of Isaiah 9:6-8. That Yahshua comes and takes in the last days, his father gives him the throne of his earthly father David to sit upon the throne until he puts all enemies under his footstool, and until he reigns supremely. And then as soon as Yahshua secures all nations under his footstool here on earth, then it says there in the New Testament that he delivers the kingdom up to his father. Then he delivers the whole kingdom that he has inherited here on earth. That's in Hebrews 1:1-3. So he has inherited, he's going to deliver this kingdom up to the father. He said, here it is, Father. Here's what I have regained on the earth by my blood sacrifice. I'm delivering it up to you. It all belongs to you. That's pretty gracious of the Son. He took his inheritance and he gave it back to the Father. He said, here, this is for all of us. Okay? Let's continue on reading. It says, let's read that Isaiah 62:11. Again, behold, the Yahshua hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye unto the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation hath cometh. And in another place it says the daughter of Zion is the house of David. And another place you'll find that in the prophecy of Micah 4:7-8. that the daughter of Zion is the house of David. This glorious announcement is to be made just before we receive our reward, and of what will our rewards consist if we are faithful? Eternal life, a place in the kingdom of Yahshua, a complete cleansing of the body, soul, and spirit, thus making us a people without guile, a crown of the glory unto the Yahweh, and everything else that goes with it. You see why we have to do a cleansing of our bodies, and we have to do a program here to help Yahweh put His Spirit upon us to restore our mind, bodies, and spirit, to get us ready to represent this type of people. Joel 2:1, blow up the trumpet in the Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain, that all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of Yahshua cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Here a command is given unto someone to blow a trumpet and sound an alarm. Why? For the day of Yahshua cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Joel 2:2, a day of the darkness and of the gloominess, a day of the clouds and of the thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, as a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even unto the years of the many generations. In this day of the gloominess and thick darkness, there is also to be a great and strong people. If they are to be greater and stronger than any in the past, then they will exceed in the strength, even Samson. What is it that will make that great people so strong? The very first requisite is the faith. Faith in what? Faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, of the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20. We must continue to believe even in the face of the severe circumstances that will present themselves to challenge our faith in the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20 of the blood. We must realize, therefore, that not a little faith in the blood of the Lamb, but very much faith is required of any who would be among this great people. Ever remember that the Israelite multitude and later the whole nation completely lost out simply because of their unbelief. Unbelief in what? Unbelief in the blood of the everlasting covenant that Abraham was shown and accepted and represented by his offering up Isaac upon the mount as an offering. His only son. Their unbelief, which led to their rebellion against Yahweh's ways, until there was no remedy. As an incidental thought, we might mention also that Samson was obedient unto a strict diet and a specific injunction concerning his hair, and his strict adherence unto these requirements did prove to be the provision he had to meet in order to possess super or superior muscular strength. This example teacher says that if the Yahweh requires of us something which he requires of no others, the purpose in it can be severed in no other, served in no other way than by our strictly adhering unto it. If the Yahweh, for instance, has given us dietary and other requirements to follow in the order to keep us separate from the world so that he can deliver us from the evils in the world, then we must obey them if we would be delivered. Now let us return our attention on here Joel's prophecy by the reading of Joel 2, verse 3. It says, for a fire devised before them, and behind them a flame burneth, and the land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. What will make the land before them as a garden, and behind them as a desolate wilderness? They will leave nothing behind but desolation, for they will gather out all the saints into the kingdom of Yahweh, which is ahead of them. Okay, it says, let us turn to now Isaiah 33:14. For the sinners in Zion are afraid, fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? Fire is both before and behind, and only those therefore who are insulated then with the righteousness of Yahshua will be able safely to stand between these two fires, Isaiah 33:15-19. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despises the gain of the oppression, that shaketh his hands from the holding of the bride, that stoppeth his ears from the hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from the seeing evil, he that dwell on high, his place of the defense shall be the nutrition or the munitions of the rock. Bread shall be given him, and his water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the recipient? Or where is the receiver? They're about the same thing. Where is he that counteth the towers? Thou shalt not see a fiercer people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, and of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. Okay. We do not now see the great men join themselves with the Yahweh's people, and moreover, Yahweh's truth does not come to us in a deeper speech than we can perceive, neither in a tongue which we cannot understand. For Yahweh's people will be able to understand, and they will be also be able to live in the midst of the fire. Now this is something else. Besides all of this, their bread and their water will be sure. Okay. Let us reread verses 15 to 19 and include verse 20. Isaiah 33:15-20. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of the oppression, that shaketh his hands from the holding of the bride, that stoppeth his ears from the hearing of the blood, and shut his eyes from the seeing evil, and shall dwell on high, and he shall dwell on high. Is the place of the defense shall be the munitions of the rocks, which shall be given unto him. His waters shall be sure, and I shall see the king and his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. This is the promised land of Israel. Here in Israel today, the last day. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the tower? Thou shalt not see a fierce people as a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive of a stammering tongue, that thou canst not understand. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem as a quiet habitation, as a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. This is why our king shall at last see our glory. Joel 2:4. For the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. For the appearance of horses, and that is that of a strength, nobility, and even graceful beauty. Joel 2:5-6. Like the noise of the chariots on the tops of the mountain shall they leap, like the noise of the flame of the fire that devours the stubble, as a strong people sitting in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. When the Israelites went out of Egypt, all the nations tremble. So will it be with us in the end gathering of the saints. Joel 2:7-8. They shall run like the mighty men. They shall climb the wall like the men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. This army will act in the perfect unity, and each will attend well unto his own given part of the work. Moreover, none will suffer harm. Joel 2:9. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. In the time of the image of the beast, that's the time that we're in right now, the third body tower, when harm will threaten Yahweh's army, they will nevertheless fearlessly go out to carry the gospel everywhere. Joel 2:10. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shadow. This suggests that this people will have power, have the power of the kind that the Joshua and Hezekiah and Elijah have. 2:11, and the Yashir shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Yashir is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? We must be righteous if we would abide it. Joel 2:12. Therefore also now, saith the Yashir, turn you even unto me with all your heart, and with the fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. For this reason we behold how we should now turn to Yahweh with all our hearts, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. This is what Yahweh calls for now from each of us individually. Joel 2:13. And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Yahshua your Savior, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of the great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. When we read that our hearts, when we rend our hearts, we will, in the other words, be inwardly repentant, and it will be our experience only if we are genuine believers, knowing what we believe and believing what we know. Joel 2:14-18. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Yahshua your Savior. Blow the trumpet, Yahshua your King as well. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chambers, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, as the ministers of the Yahshua, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Yahshua, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, for it is their Yahweh? Then will the Yahweh be jealous for his land. Then will the Yahshua the Son be jealous for his land and pity his people? Not the heathen, but the Yahshua is to rule over his people. This is the Son. Not the heathen, but the Yahshua is to rule over his people. Nevertheless, in order for the obtaining of this blessing, it will require the most earnest supplication and effort on the part of his people. Joel 2:19. Yea, the Yahshua will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. These are Yahweh's promises to us. Micah 4 and Isaiah 2 clearly outline the great blessings Yahweh has in store for those who choose to serve him. For our further encouragement today, let us turn to Micah 4:1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Yahshua, or the mountain of the house of the Yahshua the Son, shall be established in the top of the mountains, that's in all churches all over the world, that have been brought under his subjection, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. For Yahweh's kingdom that the Daniel in his second chapter said would be set up in the days of these kings is here referred to as a mountain. So then go ahead and finish that. As a mountain of the house of the Yahweh is what that should really read. Micah 4:2, and many nations shall come and say, come and let us look to the mountain of the Yahweh and unto the house of the Yahshua of the Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth as Zion, and the word of Yahshua from Jerusalem. For the continuing of our reading, let us now skip a few verses and read very carefully Micah 5:1-15. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of the troops. And that's the daughter of Zion, is the house of David. Just talking about the tribe of Judah then, the lawgiver. He says, he hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of the Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, although thou be a little among the thousands of the Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth with hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Yahshua and the majesty of the name of the Yahshua of his king. And they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him several shepherds and 8 principal men. And they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword. This is the land that preceded Babylon back there in ancient Israel's time. The land of Nimrod and the entrances are up. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land, and when he treadeth within our borders, and the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as it do from the Yahshua, as the showers upon the grass, that turneth not for men, nor waiteth for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles, in the midst of the many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of the sheep, who, if he go through, both threshes down and treadeth in pieces, and none shall deliver. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. And he shall come to, and it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahshua, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all the strongholds, and I will cut off with witchcraft out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers, for thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee. That's talking about these living, breathing, false prophets stand up in our pulpits, the abomination that maketh desolate in the Adventist church, as these Jesuit preachers standing in the sacred desk, delivering false Catholic doctrine sermons of the Trinity to the house of Israel. Can you imagine such a blasphemy? and I will pluck up thy graves, thy growth out of the midst of thee. So will I destroy thy city, and I will execute vengeance and anger and fury upon the heathen, such that they have not heard. Okay. So it says that for the Yahweh has determined that he will cut out all wickedness, and when he does it, his people will then be made great through it. And Isaiah chapter 32 and 34, a further description is given of what the Yeshua has done and will yet do. And then, speaking of his righteous people, we read in Isaiah 35:1-2, for the wilderness of this and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with the joy and singing. The glory of the Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Yahshua and the excellency of Rosh Yahweh the Father. For his land will yet blossom abundantly and bring forth fruit, and there will also be rejoicing, joy, and singing when the Yahshua of glory and ecstasy will be seen. Isaiah 35:5-7. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of the dragons, for each lay, shall be grass with the reeds and rushes. In the time of the Lord, cries, signs, and wonders, and miracles will follow the believers. All this awaits those who are awake unto these facts and who devote their main interests and even their very lives for the furtherance of Yahweh's cause, his kingdom. For the David applied himself well on his work, and Yahweh saw it and made him king, for in order to be a good king, a man must tend well unto his business. And Yahweh's work, as in the everything else, men can succeed only if they take real and sustaining interest in the work he gave them to do. It would be possible for each of us to examine ourselves closely for the purpose of determining whether we are in every respect seeking first the kingdom of the heaven and his righteousness, if we have a clear vision of what Yahweh is to do, and if we really want to receive the promised blessing. We will in no wise find ourselves guilty of the hindering or delaying there, which makes possible their fulfillment. Okay, often their Christian life is beset by the dangers, and duty seems hard to perform. Okay, it says, for the imagination pictures impending ruin before and bondage on the death behind. Yet the voice of Yahweh speaks clearly, go forward, we should obey this command, even though our eyes cannot penetrate the darkness and we feel the cold waves about our feet, for the obstacles that hinder our progress will never disappear before a halting, doubting spirit. Those who defer obedience till every shadow of the uncertainty disappears and there remains no risk of failure or defeat, will never obey at all. Unbelief whispers, let us wait till the obstructions are removed and we can see our way clearly. But faith courageously urges and advances, hoping all things, believing all things, Patriarchs and Prophets, page 290 of L&G White. When does the judgment of the living commence? The question is asked here. At the top of page 18, on 12 symbolic code number 3. And those who wish to know when the living in the Seventh-day Adventist Church will be judged in the books of the heaven, we give you the benefit of the Brother Otto's clear-cut statements which he wrote in answering specific questions on the subject. Number one, as to whether this work of the separation or investigation of who has and who has not the wedding garment is now taking place. I may say that it is not, for the reason that we are now in the marking time of Ezekiel chapter 9, nor yet in the time of the investigation of who has the mark and who has it not. For the marking itself is not the separation, not a work of the sanctuary in heaven. It takes place in the church on earth as well as in the home. Each one for himself decides his own case either by the sign and crying for all the abomination in the midst thereof or by not so doing. Thus they themselves determine whether to be marked or to be left without the mark and be cut down by the angel's slaughter weapons. For the only judging which the sanctuary in heaven does in regard for these is to give the right for one class of the dead to arise either in the first resurrection or in the second resurrection, and to give right to one class of the living to stand on the Mount Zion with the Lamb for the translation, and for the other to die at the slaughter weapons of the angel and to arise in the second resurrection. Thus it is seen that the time of the sanctuary judgment among the living first fruits starts at the time of the slaughter of Ezekiel 9 and continues thereafter during the time of the second fruits, and that's the giving of the Gentiles. Number two, in our conversation I meant to explain that we are not in the sanctuary judgment of the living, not in the time for our sins to be blotted out, but in the time for us to decide, judge ourselves either to receive the mark and be saved or to remain without it and be taken by the slaughter weapons of the angels. We are not in the seventh seal. The half-hour silence is yet future. And that would be, yes, the judgment of the living is a half-hour silence. And Victor Holliford was in the judgment of the dead period, and that's the reason why he said what he did. He was in the sixth seal and the sixth trumpet. And the judgment of the living is in the seventh seal and the seventh trumpet, Revelation 8. Okay. I try to explain that we have not advanced far enough in the harvest for the first fruits to have the tares cut down from the ground where they are rooted, the church, or to have the wheat put into the barn, the kingdom, but that we are in the time when the distinction between the tares and the wheat is becoming more and more apparent, while the stalks of the wheat are being marked so that when the reapers of the tares pass by, they will leave the wheat on his stalks until all of the tares are cut out. Well, the tares are not cut out, they're pulled out by the root. Need to help it, to have you to think that they're cut off from the top of the ground and the roots are left in the ground of the tares, but it's not. The tares are pulled up by the root. The wheat is left. The root is left in the ground of the wheat. Then the wheat will be gathered and put into the barn, the kingdom. A great harvest. The harvest of the second fruits is to follow after number three. The judgment of the living on earth commences with the Ezekiel 9, but in heaven and the books after Ezekiel 9, the judgment of the living is in the two phases. The first phase is a separation that takes away the wicked from among the righteous, Ezekiel 9, and the Adventist Church. The second phase is a book work when the investigation takes place and when the sins of the righteous and the names of the wicked are blotted out of the records in the heaven. This second phase, the judicial session in the heaven, is what commences after Ezekiel 9 takes place. For it is true that the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 2, page 172, reveals that we are entering into the time of the judgment of the living, which was end up not being so after all, but it does not say that we have entered into it. Neither does it say that the judgment of the living has already begun. Not that part which we, as the Seventh Day Adventists, call judgment, blotting out of the sins and sinners. No, you have to restore the feast days in order to have that take place. And the other says, well, let's restore the feast days you get to the land. He said that in the 10th parabolic hour. And so he left the shepherd's rod without any hope of restoring the feast days among themselves in their day, because the prophet said, no, they'll be restored in the land after we get into the land, not here in the wilderness. So that's the reason why they didn't restore the feast. From the books of the records, the separation, the very fact that we are still together, co-mingle the good with the bad, it so speaks the truth. For the number five, for the reason that you have not been able to ascertain from the publications how we are to know when the judgment will pass from the dead to the living is that you have failed to study the message in its entirety. For the trumpet is even now blowing, but as yet the day has not been announced. We can, however, say that the slaughter of Ezekiel 9 is what marks the judgment passing from the dead to the living, and that is a true statement. Number six, regarding the judgment, although the message of the shepherd's rod does announce the judgment of the living a number of times, yet according to the answer, book number 2, page 38 to 42, we are still in the time of the judgment of the dead, which is true. At that time, they're in the 30s. You will also notice that in the reference you mentioned the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 2, 162. It says the investigation of the living commences after the fulfillment of Ezekiel 9. Number 7. With regard to your answer to the questions in the Sabbath School Quarterly, we want you to know that you got along just fine throughout the entire lesson, with the exception of your passing mentioned that the judgment of the living began in 1929, which it didn't. The judgment of the living began in 2002 with Rutus Johnson, the term of Texas Gilead Center, started the Passover, and I was there present. I'd been with him for 33 years. You will find that the message consistently teaches that the judgment of the living has not yet commenced, that we are still living in the time of the judgment of the dead, and that the slaughter of Ezekiel 9 is what marks the judgment Passing from the Dead to the Living, read the White House Recruiter. Number 8, the commencement of the judgment of the dead was marked by the lightning and thunderings and voices, Revelation 4:5. Whereas the commencement of the sanctuary phase of the judgment of the living is marked by the voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake, Revelation 8:5. See the Shepherd Rod, Volume 2, page 221, and track number 15, page 64. Number 9. And as the time of the commencement of the judgment of the living, see the answer book number 1, page 94 and 95, and the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 2, page 220, which says, when the seal is open, that is the seventh seal of Revelation 8, and the judgment of the living begins, and the half-hour silence takes place, we must know it. For the date of that glorious event will be made known at the fulfillment, Revelation 8:5. And that made its fulfillment, that seventh seal, judgment of the living, seventh trumpet, closing out of the judgment of the dead of the sixth seal of trumpet Texas, took place on the vote of Stephen Johnson, with the vote of Stephen Johnson at the Passover of 2002. This brings the third of our students to our contact us at the 11th hour calling at number 11. Click on the audio archives to hear this message and move along. Close now with a song. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His fallen forever. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His fallen forever. Redeemed and so happy in Yahshua, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the Lord of His presence with me death can tenderly dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, is silent forever. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent, His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His Father forever I am. I know I shall see in His beauty the King and His Lord delight. Lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. There's a crown that is waiting in yonder broad mansion for me. Dancing with the spirits made perfect, and home with the Yahshua I'll be. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.